Hey everyone! So imagine this. You're wearing a smartwatch or a small chest strap, and it's continuously monitoring your heart. Not just heart rate, but subtle variations in how your heart rhythms change throughout the day. What if that device could tell you're becoming anxious before you even consciously realize it? It sounds like science fiction, but researchers have actually been exploring this exact idea for years now. The question is, are we there yet? Well, a new systematic review just dropped in NPJ Digital Medicine that looked at nearly four decades of research on using wearable ECG and PPG sensors. That's electrocardiography and photoplethysmography, the sensors that read your heart's electrical activity and blood flow for anxiety detection. And the findings are complicated in a really interesting way. There's real promise here, but also some pretty significant hurdles we need to clear before these devices could actually help patients in the real world. Let me set the stage first. Anxiety is the most common mental health condition, affecting millions of people globally. The challenge is that it's subjective. Your anxiety might feel completely different from mine, and it's easy to miss if you're not in a clinical setting when it happens. There's been this growing hope that wearables could change that equation, giving us an objective, physiological readout of anxiety. Your body doesn't lie, right? Your heart rate variability absolutely changes when you're anxious. So researchers went through 38 studies published between 2015 and 2025 and asked, what are we actually learning here? What signals matter? And how close are we to something we could deploy in the real world? Here's what stood out when they looked across all these different studies. The most consistent physiological markers for anxiety were RMSSD. That's the root mean square of successive differences in heartbeat intervals, and something called high-frequency heart rate variability power. Think of it this way. Your heart doesn't beat at a perfectly metronomic rate. There's this natural variation, and when you're anxious, that variation tends to flatten out. That's what these measurements are picking up. Now, here's where it gets interesting and a little concerning. About 55% of these studies used healthy people, university students, volunteers without any anxiety disorder, not actual patients struggling with anxiety. Only about 13% included people who actually had diagnosed anxiety disorders. So we know these sensors can detect something about anxiety, but mostly in people who aren't clinically anxious. That's a real gap. And then there's the accuracy problem. The smaller studies, the ones with fewer than 50 participants, reported these stunning accuracy rates. 96%, 97%, sometimes 99%. That's Let's just say that's suspicious. It's not that researchers are lying. It's that when your study population is tiny, and you're testing on the same people you trained your algorithm on, you can get numbers that look too good to be true. Because they usually are. When you look at the larger, more rigorous studies, the accuracy drops to more realistic, but still useful levels. Here's another striking finding. Only about 26% of these studies even reported quantitative classification metrics. That means three-quarters of the studies didn't give you the kind of numerical data you'd need to really compare them or build on them. That makes it almost impossible to do the kind of systematic comparisons and meta-analyses that would help us understand the true state of the science. And this is crucial. Not a single one of the 38 studies validated their models on an independent, external data set. That means they built an algorithm to detect anxiety, tested it on the same data they trained it on, and called it good. None of them took it to a different hospital, a different population, a different context, and showed it still works. That's kind of the gold standard in medical research. And it didn't happen in any of these studies. So what does this all mean? Well, there's definitely something here. The fact that RMSSD and high-frequency HRV consistently show up as markers of anxiety across so many different studies, that's real. These are legitimate physiological signals. But there's a massive difference between we can detect something physiological related to anxiety in a controlled lab setting, and, quote, we have a clinically actionable system that actually improves patient outcomes. Quote, one thing that really struck me about this review is how much the study design itself matters. They found that signal collection duration, whether researchers recorded heart data for 5 minutes or 2 hours, directly affected which features they could even measure. You can't extract certain measures from a short signal that you can from a long one. And different studies use different paradigms to induce anxiety. Some used public speaking, some used stressful video, some used mental arithmetic. So you're not even measuring the same thing across studies. It's like everyone's speaking slightly different dialects of the same language, and we're trying to figure out what they all have in common. That heterogeneity is part of why moving from research to clinical reality is so tough. But here's the fundamental problem. We still don't have a single study that shows using wearable anxiety detection actually improves patient outcomes. Not one. We don't know if early detection changes behavior, if it helps patients manage their anxiety better, if it prevents an anxiety attack from escalating, if it helps clinicians make better treatment decisions. Those are the questions that matter in the real world. So what needs to happen next? The authors are pretty clear about this. First, we need standardized protocols. Right now, everyone's collecting signals in slightly different ways, extracting features in slightly different ways, reporting results in slightly different ways. That makes it impossible to build knowledge progressively. You need a common playbook. Second, we need to test these systems in actual patient populations. People with diagnosed anxiety disorders, older adults who might have other heart conditions, people with different backgrounds and contexts, not just healthy university students in a lab. Third, and this is critical, we need validation on external data sets, and, even more importantly, we need to demonstrate actual clinical benefit. Does this technology improve how patients manage their anxiety? Does it help clinicians? If not, it doesn't matter how accurate it is. Fourth, there's a regulatory piece. If you want these systems in a clinical context, you probably need FDA clearance as software as a medical device. That's a specific pathway that the field hasn't really mapped out yet for anxiety detection specifically. And finally, integration. You can't just give a patient an alert saying you're anxious in isolation. It needs to connect to their electronic health records, to their clinicians, to their care plan. Otherwise, you get alert fatigue, which defeats the whole purpose. The bottom line? Wearable ECG and PPG for anxiety detection isn't science fiction. It's real physiology, real signals. But we're still in the research phase. There's genuine promise here, but it's going to take more rigorous work, more standardization, and a real commitment to demonstrating clinical utility before these devices become part of how we actually care for anxious patients. It's a roadmap for the field, and it's a realistic one.